You know, I've really been thinking a lot lately about my struggle with crying and that I am unable almost to cry, even when I know that it will be a real emotional release.
And I know that, I mean, I can cry actually fairly easily, but a lot of the men I work with, it's really hard for them to cry. So let's talk about
Yeah,
it.
let's talk about the
Today we're
crying.
going to be talking about the crying game, the art of the relational
I
crying.
always think about the U2 song. I
Dun, dun,
know.
dun,
Is that
dun.
U2?
No,
Oh,
dun,
whatever.
dun. About
About
the
the crying.
crying
Is that
game.
U2?
No.
Oh.
You are listening to the Potential State Podcast with your hosts, Dr. Asael and Galitro Manelli.
Hi, my name is Dr. Asael Romanelli.
And I'm Galitro Manelli.
And this is the Potential State. And today we're going to talk about the art of relational crying. So let's start with men because it's like, I guess it's just easier. We are taught not to cry because crying is feminine, it's vulnerable, it's not efficient.
It's not manly.
And then with women, we see the two versions, right?
I feel like with women, there's a real split between the women who like cry and don't, you know, it just.
Waterworks are always open.
No, I mean, I don't know if necessarily waterworks are always open, but they can access it. And then women who, or actually maybe three, and women who like over.
Yeah.
Over cry,
where crying is almost like a default
right.
space for them.
And then there are women like me who really struggle to access the tears.
And let's just say a word about crying. Crying is a natural, organic release of energy.
Yeah, it's your body releasing the emotion that is sadness or even laughter, right? Like when you laugh really, really hard, that one I don't have a problem with, then sometimes, you know, your eyes well up with tears. But anytime that you're feeling a huge emotional surge, generally sadness then.
So let's talk about those two versions of overcrying and not crying at all, or blocking crying. So let's start with the overcriers.
Okay, do it.
So I feel like a lot of times, like this a lot in the clinic, especially if they see themselves as the victims or the martyrs, they cry a lot. Now what happens is when you turn on the waterworks a lot and often, what happens is people immediately back off. Because basically when you start crying, the other person is like, oh, I hurt you. I did something wrong. And then what happened is people back off. They don't give you any constructive feedback. They don't challenge you. They don't stretch
you.
Right,
the conversation kind of comes
it's
to
an
a
end.
halt, because it's like, oh, I don't.
And then I always have to cheer them up. And after a while, it's just annoying and heavy. And I don't have energy every time you're crying. I have to cheer you up or say it's okay.
Right, the conversation then becomes about like making you feel better rather than whatever the issue.
Whatever the content
otherwise.
Was we're talking about. And what happens is we start avoiding. And then you're kind of caught in this, we, you know, reference the drama queen episode. Then there's always a drama there. It's always heavy. We can't just have a conversation that's practical to talk about whatever you talk about and move on.
Yeah. That's interesting because I think it also has to do in general with the way we cope with someone sharing their emotion, right? Especially
right.
when it's kind of the negative emotions like sadness, then we kind of don't know how to be around that. And so we just want to like make it stop.
Right.
Like just make to stop. And so then I think, especially if you're interacting with someone who's quick on the waterworks, you're like, oh, well, I don't even want to broach the subject because I don't even want to get into all that drama.
And if you're the waterworks person, over time, what's going to happen is because you're crying all the time, you're going to start becoming flooded. It's almost going to be like a default, I'm crying. And then you have to stop because when you're
That's
crying,
like
you
my
have to
go-to.
Stop. Yeah, it's my go-to. It's always break. It's basically I'm blocking interactions. I'm blocking
Oh,
feelings.
This is a challenging conversation. Okay, I'll turn on the waterworks and
Boom.
I'll stop.
And then I have to stop everything. I have to calm
right.
down.
Right.
And then I can basically, I'm not growing. I'm not
it's,
moving.
It's kind of emotional manipulation.
Yes. Yes. So that's one extreme.
One.
Let's talk about the other one. The people that find it hard to cry.
Me. That's, I mean, I'll own my shit. I imagine, and I'm happy to explore this now, but that's also a form of emotional manipulation, right? Like, emotions like sadness don't penetrate me. It's okay. I can brush it off. I can keep going. Like, you can't hurt me. I think that's, wow, that's action insight right here. I think that's a big one. Like, you won't hurt me. You can't hurt me. And it's not even necessarily with like guard up. It's just like deflect. Like it won't, doesn't, you know?
And I'd say there are two versions of it.
I'm just kaying it because I can't even find the words.
I think there's like two versions of it. There's the people that grew up with waterwork parents or waterwork siblings who are like, I don't want to be like that, and do a corrective script. Take out the episodes on intergenerational script. Or I'll talk more about men because that's what I know better. It's like, or men that get socialized that crying is bad, so they just shut it all down.
Right.
That's just, they have no access to that.
I think it's really interesting as a parent to see with kids, you know, the approach of like, do we say to our kids, like, stop crying, or why are you crying?
Or don't be a crybaby, right?
Right. Well, we don't say that.
Right. But I see this all the time in the clinic. We socialize boys, don't whine, don't be a crybaby. When the girl cries, we're like, oh. Right. So from a very young age, we're kind of almost like...
Well, we're putting like a negative value almost on crying. Like get your crying out of the way. Like that's not efficient, right? We had something like that. That's not efficient. That's not helpful. You know, whereas because we don't want to just be, even just for a moment in the like, that's really sad. That's sad for you. And that always makes me think of the movie Inside Out, you know, where like sadness, you know, Joy is just so frustrated with sadness all the time until she sees that like she's able to actually, by just being with Bing Bong, gotta watch the movie, is able to kind of just like give him the space to let the emotion work through his body, and then he's able to kind of like move on.
So when you block crying over time, what's going to happen is you're going to kind of limit your emotional rage. You're missing out on like the depths and the heights of the other feelings. And happens is...
Sorry, but I'll say, because I do this, right? Like I have a very hard time accessing tears of sadness. And I think that it's, I am now paying the tax because I know that that's a form of release. And I'm unable even to like access that, right? Like I've literally kind of like severed my body's ability to get out the emotion through tears. And so I have to find another outlet.
And the tax, by the way, the relational tax of not crying is that people always assume you're okay.
Yeah.
Neither they're going to try to push you and challenge you, or they're like, okay, she's always okay. So your pain is not seen, your pain is not heard.
Right. Or and even if I bring it up or raise it, right, and surface it and talk about it, somehow it doesn't have the same gravity because it's like, okay, well, you can just dust yourself and move on.
Right.
Like you've done every other time since, you know.
And I'll just give one example from a couple of weeks ago in family therapy. It was, so the grandfather always told the father, don't cry, be strong, crying is not efficient, crying is feminine. And then the son was reflecting that he's telling his kid, who's 4 years old, to stop crying, stop crying. And then he said, wow. And we suddenly realized what we're seeing here is three generations of men who are denying themselves and each other from crying and actually limiting themselves emotionally.
Yeah, limiting the emotional range. Absolutely.
Yeah, and creating and turn them into bots, these little bots that don't feel anything. And I think over time, and we see this, I see this a lot with men, but we also see this with women, that just prevents the visceral vitality of life. Reference the episode, what's your emotional range? Okay.
It's not corona, it's just a dry throat.
So how do you change this? So first of all...
How do you change this? Because it's something that I am legit struggling with.
So first I have to reflect and see, which one are you? Are you an overcrier? Are you blocked with crying? And let's start with you're blocked, if it's hard for you to cry, let's start there, okay?
Okay.
So the first thing I'd say is start by verbalizing your pain. Just share what's happening. You don't have to force the cry, just what is hurting you, what is pain. Sometimes it actually helps to kind of just go into these kind of fetal, vulnerable positions. Just position yourself there. Even if you're not crying, don't try to force it.
So I found recently what I try to do, because I'm mindful and I'm trying to make this change, is that I try to find spaces where I feel really, really safe, whether that's alone or just with you, where I know that I can have this release and I won't be judged, or you won't try to fix it, or you won't even talk. Like you'll know, I think, because it's something that we've worked on, then you know to just kind of give me that space, but witness it.
And also don't be afraid to go into like the lower, the more darker feelings. And reference the episode, the key to your joy is in your pain. And if you do cry, my tip is don't make eye contact. Sometimes you just, if you're practicing this and you just kind of don't look, and then you get to, you know, like judge, like self-aware or self-conscious.
Yeah, I think kind of like ride the wave.
Yeah, just enjoy, just let that pass through and enjoy it and release yourself. So that's if it's harder for you to cry. Now, yeah. if you are an overcrier, if you're a waterworks thing. So the first thing I'd say is when you are in these relationships, and I do this all the time in therapy, when we recognize that one of the partners is a waterworks person, we will kind of have this agreement that we're going to keep working even though you're crying.
Right.
We're not going to take crying as a timeout. We have to always pause and retreat or to comfort you. I can keep, and a lot of times they'll actually say, like, please keep working with me. Like, I don't want you to stop right now. So first of all, it's to clarify
that.
That's
amazing.
The crying is not the end of the interaction.
Yeah. And I think that's especially good, for example, for women at work, because I know that sometimes, like, I'll speak for myself and from other women that I've spoken to, that sometimes we do get emotional at work and we are feeling either frustrated or not heard, or and it does surface these emotions and can lead to crying. But that doesn't mean that the conversation needs to come to a halt, or doesn't mean that the focus needs to shift. It certainly doesn't mean that we're less professional. It just means that we are expressing and kind of releasing this emotion, but we are well capable of continuing to hold the conversation.
And we don't have to see crying as being unprofessional. Crying is a healthy release of emotion. Again, if it's on a range,
right.
We don't want to reach the extremes. So first of all, have that common language. Next, when you are crying, when you feel the need to kind of, when the waterworks are open up, try to verbalize the pain behind the tears. What is happening for you? And as you're doing it, ask your partner, you don't have to fix or heal me or pity me. Just let me work through this.
Yes, it's really that wave.
Because a lot of times behind tears, it's not necessarily pain. It can be anger, it can be frustration.
Yeah, disappointment.
And the second I can learn to verbalize it, I won't have to do the waterworks, because I'll be less and less afraid of confronting, stepping into the crucible. Because what we want you to, we want to reach a level where whether I'm tearing up or not tearing up, I'm entering the crucible. I'm going into intimacy. And I'm not just doing waterworks, which immediately ends the conversation.
So I think it's, we want to feel the emotion rather than kind of just use the physical in order to kind of block exits, if that makes sense.
Yes. Because
we're not saying stop crying if that's what comes up.
Right.
But don't let the crying stop you from feeling the emotion. Right. Whether it's because you're crying so much so then the interaction stops, or whether you're not crying at all, like my case, and then you're not feeling the emotion fully.
Because at the end of the day, it's not about the crying, it's about the feeling.
Yeah.
And the crying is on the side of that aspect of that journey.
The crying is a symptom.
It's a symptom. It's a signal. It's an overflowing. I don't know what that meant. But at the end of the day, try to learn the art of relational crying. This was Galit Romanelli.
Dr. Asel Romanelli.
And we're the Potential State. We'll see you next time.
Go have a good cry.
You've been listening to the Potential State podcast. For more information, visit us at potentialstate.com. Thanks for listening.